Hello and welcome to Clearly Speaking, where we aim to speak clearly on cultural topics using a biblical worldview. My name is TC Cook and I'm here with Pastor Zach Johnson. Zach, how are you today?
I'm doing great, brother.
Man, it is it's been an incredible week. The Supreme Court has woke up. They have made some rulings, and we're pretty excited about it as a church, I believe.
Yeah, they're on a roll. I mean, it's definitely a time to praise the Lord for His kindness.
Yes, the mercy and the grace that He's shown us through some of these rulings is incredible. We're gonna dive into some of these just to kind of talk about how they affect us, how they might affect us, and why even this is good biblically. So first off, we're gonna kick off with Kennedy versus Bremerton School District. This has been deemed the praying coach ruling. Have you heard about this one?
Yeah, I remember. I mean, when I was at VU, I seemed to hear about this kind of thing all the time. But this one popped up, I think, on Monday or on Sunday afternoon. I saw something about it and was really excited.
Yeah, I actually do remember when this took place. And so here's kind of the background. So Coach Kennedy, after every game, win or lose, he was a football coach, he would go to the 50-yard line and take a knee and pray. Mm. It wasn't anything during the game. It wasn't anything. It wasn't because they won, because they lost. It didn't matter. Every single game, he would go to the middle of the field and pray. Sometimes players, coaches, they would join him even from the opposite team at the 50-yard line, but that's what he would do. So the Bremerton School District decided, hey, this is actually against our policies. So they asked him to stop. They said, would you please stop praying? And he said, no. And they said, well, this could cost you your job. He said, that's fine. Goes out, prays again. They end up calling him in and they fired him for it. So he said, hey, you can't fire me for religious things. So he took it all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled that it was unlawful for them to fire him, which is a big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. I mean, it kind of brings into the discussion the whole separation of church and state, which is a misunderstanding in and of itself anyway, as a constitutional thing. Freedom from religion is what is wanted by the pagans.
Yeah.
Freedom from God, from worship.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the Supreme Court actually used like the free speech. So here's kind of what they stated. This is in one of their opinions. The free exercise and free speech clause of the First Amendment protects an individual engaging in personal religious observance from government reprisals. Now, here's the thing. Public schools are government schools. They're government funded. And they have to follow the government guidelines to be a government school. So that's where they were able to use this government reprisal thing. So the ruling stated the Constitution neither mandates nor permits the government to suppress such religious expressions. So that's a big deal, because I know there's even at Bar Eve here close to us, they would have somebody pray, and I don't know if they still do this, they probably do, but have somebody pray at the beginning of basketball games on the mic, and that's how they would kind of get the whole thing kicked off. And I know people were worried that, hey, we could get in trouble here for this, all this stuff. Well, what this ruling states is they cannot stop that. Now, just because someone's praying over a loudspeaker doesn't mean you have to pray. They're not forcing you to pray. Now, this guy, on the other hand, might be a little bit different, because he just went on his own, knelt down, didn't ask anybody to come with him, and then prayed quietly to himself. And then when people would come and join him, then they would pray collectively. But it was not forced upon his students to do that, or players. So that's an interesting one. That's a good one that we can look at. I don't see a whole lot of things that could be manipulated in this one. So that's good news. And so we rejoice with that one. Second one that we've got up, Carson versus Macon. Now, this ruling affirmed that states cannot discriminate against parents who want to send their children to religious schools.
Mm.
So this was a big deal. I think this was actually in Maine. And what was going on was there were some private Christian schools that had students, and yet they weren't allowed to get assistance through the government if they couldn't afford those schools, right? Now, the difference here is, the kicker is that there were other private schools that weren't religious that the government were sending money to allow these students to go there. So, but they would say, hey, because you're a religious school, we're not going to send you any money. That's what Maine basically said.
Right.
So the Supreme Court says you can't do that. You cannot differentiate between the two just because of religious beliefs.
Mm.
So you have to give that money to them to go to school. So this is a good one too, I believe.
At least seems to be. I mean, like I'd said, I'd seen there is a concern that a lot of people have, though, that, you know, like Francis Schaeffer talked about, the biggest problem in the future being statism, kind of like the worship of / reliance upon the state. And there are people I've read online that are concerned that that's going to end up kind of happening here, like the state and the private schools theology gets kind of wed together. So it's one of those things that, you know, upon hearing it, you're excited, you're grateful, but then you're like, but you know, some caution,
right,
is there.
Right. So the problem is, at least in our state, in Indiana, is we pay property taxes. I believe this is just about in every state. And that property tax then goes to fund different things, right? So roads, different things like that, but also schools, and typically public schools.
Mm.
So like for instance, we homeschool and we have two kids, so we have to pay on our own for our homeschooling, but yet my property tax has to pay for the public school that my kids don't even come close to using.
Yeah.
So that to me is not lawful. It's not right. Why would I have to pay for other people to go to school? Or let's say this, older parents who their kids are grown, they moved away, they're still paying property tax for a public school that they're not using, right?
Yeah.
And so to be real honest, I would see that either one, do away with property tax, but that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
But two, start giving that money back to the parents who aren't using it. Now, like you were talking about, the issue becomes, do we get the money in our hands to use for whatever school we want, or is it the government saying, hey, we're going to pay whichever school you want? And if that happens, then the state could end up saying, okay, well, we're not going to give you this money unless you have this type of testing, unless you do this, unless you teach this. Now, they're not going to say you can't teach religious things, but they're going to say you have to teach at least this.
Right.
So that would be my only caveat. And I had somebody ask me, well, don't you like the voucher program? And I would say, no, the voucher program says, here's a voucher that we're going to give you. Now you take that voucher and go to the school and pay the school. Well, even with that voucher, they could say, we're not going to give you this voucher unless this, this, or this, right?
Right.
So the only way I can see is, hey, just give us our tax money back. We'll pay the public school, the private school, the homeschool, whatever we do to school our own kids.
Right.
I think that's pretty fair.
So parents are in charge of education, like scripture defines.
Yeah, cutting edge thing, isn't it? That's a cutting edge thing to think about, is that, oh my lands, parents can actually use that money to actually educate their kids. That's crazy to think of.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the saying, if it's not broke, then don't fix it. And it wasn't.
Right.
And the thought was, well, it's got to be fixed. The state's got to handle this. And
yeah.
Well, I mean, that's...
And they've not really done a very good job at education. Actually, our education level has gone down throughout the country, and especially compared to other countries, except we have the most money given towards education that there is. And then they're talking about giving free college, right? Free education. And all that is more taxes us paying for more things that we might not be using.
Exactly.
So that's those two. So we have the praying coach, and we have the private Christian religious school on top of that, which is just crazy. And then we get the big one, right? So the big one that actually more than everybody's talking about, which was the decision to repeal, to bring back Roe v. Wade. That one's huge. A lot of people saying, didn't expect this to happen in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And so
amen.
I'm gonna start off with just a few facts here, just some numbers, okay? And then we're going to dive into this ruling. And actually, because there's even some misconceptions about the ruling and what it's actually going to do.
Big time.
And some of that has pushed some of this craziness. So first, it's almost been 50 years. It's 49 years that the ruling came down. So almost half a century. And in this many years, over 63 million babies have been aborted. 63 million. That is more, that genocide is more than anything we can record throughout our history. That is 1.269 million babies a year. That's 105,766 babies a month. 3,477 per day, and 144 babies per hour, which that goes all the way down to about 2.5 babies per minute. So almost 3 babies a minute. So every minute, almost 3 babies have been murdered in the last 50 years. I mean, that's just mind-boggling numbers.
Yeah.
And that to me is an atrocity. It is it's literally looking at God and saying, "Hey, we're in control now," is what it's trying to do.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible to think about.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's carnage at a level that is really hard to describe. And you know, the thing that often really bothers me, even in my own life, is I hear that stat sometimes and think, man, that's bad, and then just go back to what I was doing and forget about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, like, you know, I remember even in like probably fourth grade, we learned about, you know, Jim Crow and that kind of stuff. And you're taught as a little kid, you know, you should care about that. But this is far worse.
Well, let's put it in a little bit. America has about 345, it's almost like 350 million people, okay, that live here in the United States. If you take the number over 50 years, that is 20% of our population gone.
Yeah.
20% gone. I think it's like 18-something, but it's right at 20% wiped off. A whole generation gone.
Yeah, it's shocking.
And I'm not trying to be nuanced or even winsome here, but I do want to put in, to talk about, or at least make a statement of, if you've had an abortion, please know that there is forgiveness, that God offers that forgiveness with repentance, and you do not have to have guilt and shame for that with repentance and with coming to the Lord. I have seen the destruction of abortion on a female, not just even physically, but spiritually in their heart, in their minds, where they hold on to this, not because they're worried that people might know, but because they're really, they really know what happened and what they did. And they live a lifetime with this. And I would say there's freedom found in the Lord, that you do not have to carry that burden with you for the rest of your life. However, for the ones who are going out and are celebrating this and who are going out and they are having abortion parties and they're on their third, fourth, fifth, sixth one, and there's no remorse and there's no forgiveness and they've bought into the lie of abortion liberates me, where there is no liberation apart from the Lord, I would say to you, please repent. Repent and know that the sin that you have done. And so there's two sides of this. There are people who live with this the rest of their life, and then there are people who try to mask it with celebrations and excitement of the real fact of murder. And I would say to you to repent.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, a couple weeks ago I had written an article that kind of points out that abortion is both murder and demonic Moloch worship. And a regular reader of our blog actually reached out to me who's had an abortion, who's a Christian, a very strong, godly woman. And she asked if I would consider writing something to comfort somebody who's had an abortion. And that's exactly what I tried to describe. You know, if you're in Christ, if you've turned from your sin and trusted in Him, His blood, His righteousness, then as Spurgeon said, you know, no one in hell could ever say, I came to Christ and He wouldn't have me. I mean, He will take whoever comes with whatever sin they bring. But I think of Jonathan Edwards, you know, in his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, he closes it by saying, you know, like, fly out of Sodom and look to the mountain lest you be consumed. And, you know, like, if you're going to shout your abortion and party and delight in this terrible thing and rub that in the face of God, as it were, then, I mean, you will have to answer for the blood that's on your hands. And God will hold you accountable if you don't repent.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there is freedom found in the Lord, but there is wrath also for those who don't repent. And so we've got to know that. So some might be asking, well, what are some verses about pro-life or about life in general? And so I just kind of want to run through some of these. Zach, you might even have some verses, but Genesis 1:27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Job 33:4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Psalm 119:73, your hands made me and formed me. God formed every human being. Psalms 139:13-16, for you formed me my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So that's just a few verses. There's many, 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 many more talking about the purpose of life, the purpose of creating. But the key, and I think that what goes on there is the fact that He formed us one before we were ever known. He knew the hairs on our head, and He intricately formed us in the womb, putting piece by piece together of who we are and who we become. And so for the ones who say, well, it's a clump of cells for all that, even if that's, we want to go there, those clumps of cells formed together, started to create a human being, were put there by the Lord to create us to who we are today. And so I don't think the Bible has stated things so clearly, the fact that God formed us in the womb, and we need to take that very seriously.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, I think of knitted together or formed. You know, Genesis 1, the Lord, let us make man in our image. In Hebrew, it's Tselem Elohim. It's like, let us make man to represent the glory of the triune God. And as Doug Wilson has said, you know, a sinful man can't climb up to heaven to attack God, so they attack the image of God. And that's not an image He made in some deistic you know, unpersonal or impersonal, detached, like, I don't really care about this, but here it is kind of thing. It was personal. Mm-hmm. And so the attack on it's personal.
Yeah.
And offensive to his glory.
Absolutely. And then we have some outrage, right? We have some people who are very, very, very upset about this. Some things are being said that just aren't even close to being true. And so we have, of course, one of my favorites to always look at for cultural things and how the world is going is AOC. And so Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says, she tweeted this out. She said, "Forced pregnancies is a crime against humanity."
Goodness gracious.
Forced pregnancies, right? So now we're not being loving and we're not being kind because we're forcing someone to actually go ahead and give birth to a baby that was formed in their body. So for one, no one is forcing a woman to get pregnant, except, okay, there is some cases of rape. I get that. Mm. And I understand that. However, the baby shouldn't be punished for this, but the rapist, the criminal, should.
Yeah.
And if we had a higher standard on how that punishment went, we might actually have less of those, right? In my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I've read, it's an old stat, but I think as per like 2015, rape came maybe 2% of abortions had to do with rape. If we raise their standards, maybe it'd be even less than 2%.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And obviously not all rapes end in a pregnancy.
Yeah.
We get that. But I do feel like, so let's take that out of the equation and let's do the other 98%, right? It's almost like we don't know how we get pregnant, right?
Yeah.
Like that's what it seems like. And calling not killing your unborn child a forced pregnancy is absurd. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. The train of thought there is nuts.
Yeah, and if you think about it too, it's as if man, or at least AOC, if not mm-hmm. man more broadly, thinks that you have a right to just do whatever you want sexually.
Right.
It's like, where'd you get that right? You know, just to sleep around and fornicate. I mean, where'd you get that right?
Did you see like some females coming out and saying, "Hey, until abortion is brought back, we're not having what do they call them? Hookups.
Yeah,
we're not having hookups anymore." It's like, yeah, I'm all for that.
Like, go for it,
yeah, right? Like that would be wonderful, by the way. So
yeah.
So it's amazing how like one change in a ruling could affect a domino effect of actually waiting till you're married to have sex. Like, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's a novel idea.
The other thing to point out with AOC's forced pregnancy is a crime against humanity. She's literally calling it a crime, right? So that's a crime. The actual real crime is forced murder, forced death.
Yeah.
So they're forcing a death upon a child. That's actually a crime,
yeah.
You know, because that is called murder, right?
Right?
And so we're not forced pregnancies; we're forced death, right? And she obviously doesn't want to say that.
Yeah, I mean it's just an example of the tortured left logic. It's an absence of logic.
Yeah,
it's like you can't make the same. I mean, you have to if you're going to be consistent, but you can't publicly make the same argument about, you know, the mom with a 6-month-old who won't stop crying and she can't get any sleep.
Right.
It's like, I'm just going to put a pillow over their head until they stop. And it's like, but if you publicly argue that, then everybody's going to call you a murderer or a murder supporter.
Right.
But it's literally the same thing.
I mean, this logic actually comes down to that could be a next step.
Sure.
Right? They might even could have said or maybe tried to get past, well, up to 5 years old, you can decide whether or not you want to be a parent. And abortion's not an option, adoption's not an option. So you would be able to then, they would probably try to come up with some nice name to call it, right? But you could abort your motherhood or your fatherhood by killing your own 5-year-old child.
Yeah.
Right? Because again, like you said, it's the same exact logic that comes to that. However, it's easier to pass something when you can't necessarily quote unquote see it.
Yeah, right? You can't see the result of it right. publicly.
Right. So here's another tweet that a lady had posted. If it was about babies, we'd have excellent, free, universal maternal care. You wouldn't be charged a cent to give birth, no matter how complicated your delivery was. If it was about babies, we'd have months and months of parental leave for everyone. If it was about babies, we'd have free lactation consultants, free diapers, free formula. If it was about babies, we'd have free and excellent childcare from newborns on. If it was about babies, we'd have universal preschool and pre-K and guaranteed after-school placements. So, one, to combat this, a lot of what she's saying, we actually have. We have pregnancy care centers
yep.
that give excellent free maternal care.
Yep.
We have, they give free diapers. They give free training on how to be a mother. Lactation consultants. They even, a lot of these are even given free, what do you call it when you see the baby? I've had
ultrasound.
Yeah, ultrasounds. Good grief. I was like, wow, I have kids and I can't remember. But they even do free ultrasounds, right?
Yeah.
So Christians and religious affiliations, mostly Christians, have started these and they're running right now.
Yeah, and they're everywhere. Yes. I mean, I can name one, at least in Vincennes, you got one, and then you probably got a few here in Davis County.
They do free formula, yeah. too, by the way.
It's a faux problem.
Absolutely. So now, let me hit some things. And I actually commented, somebody shared this, so I actually commented on this. And I said, if it was about just abortion or not having a child, then we would have birth control. If it was about not having a child, then we would want the man to be wear protection. If it was not about any of these things other than convenience, right, then we would not have sex until we were married. Yeah. But it's not about that.
No, it's not.
It's not about that at all. It's not about not having a baby, right? It's about I want to go out and do whatever I want to do without any consequences.
Yeah, it's Genesis 3 hedonism. It's like, I want to be God. I want to call my shots. I want to be the captain of my fate, as that horrible poem says.
But I guess even what I just said, it's about not having consequences. You actually don't have to have the consequences. There are ways to protect, have protected sex, right? And yeah. I'm not advocating doing any of this stuff outside of marriage.
Right.
But there are ways to not have a baby that are not abortion. But what it's really actually about then, if we take that and we say, hey, no, there's actually all these ways, but they're just not going to do them. And by the way, you get free birth control at like Planned Parenthood and stuff like that.
Right.
Then it boils down to, it's about we want to be God.
Amen.
And we want to actually play the life giver and the life taker away. Right?
Right.
That's what it's really about. And it is about killing off the very image of God. Genesis 1 says that we were created in His image. So we want as little of His image as we possibly can get on this earth. That's really what it becomes about in paganism, right?
Yeah.
That's literally what it becomes about. It is not about not having a baby just to not have a baby.
Right.
Because there are other ways than abortion not to do that, right? It is about not seeing the image of God.
Yeah, and you know, I heard a really helpful illustration from Mike Winger a couple weeks ago on this question, or at least not so much this question, but this argument against us, against mm-hmm. our position, you know, kind of insinuating that we're not genuine, right? We don't really care about life. We care about birth because we care about power. It's how it's often put.
Right.
But Mike Winger's illustration was, you know, say I knew that my neighbor was beating his kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I called the police and I said, hey, my neighbor, I have very good reason to believe he's beating his kids. And I think their life's in danger. And the cop says, well, sir, are you prepared to take those kids in as your own children and pay for their college and help them, you know, get a job? And you're just like, well, I can't afford that. And they're just like, okay, well, then we're not gonna mm-hmm. arrest him then because you're a hypocrite. And it's mm-hmm. like, that's insane. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's unapplicable reasoning. But that's the reasoning that's being used.
Right, right. Yeah, and there's other things that they're trying to say too, like mothers are going to die. And here's why they think they're going to die, because mm-hmm. of an ectopic pregnancy won't be able to be had.
Right.
Miscarriages won't be able to be treated. A septic uterus won't be able to be treated. But the real thing is the treatment for an ectopic pregnancy is not an abortion.
Yeah.
The treatment for a miscarriage is not an abortion. The treatment for a septic uterus is not an abortion. There's a difference between losing a child and murdering a child. And I would pose to them, and I've seen other people pose this question to them, and they haven't got a reply back. Not a single pro-life law impacts any of these treatments. Not a single one.
No.
This is about choosing to kill an unborn child, an unbirthed child, to kill them prior to birth. That's what this is about.
Yeah.
It is not about any of those things. And in fact, those are straw man arguments. I mean, they just try to make them up for emotional support or whatever. They're trying to get people to be scared and they're trying to put fear in you. And it's not about that whatsoever.
Yeah. You know, brother, I've been thinking about how to explain what this really is at bottom. You know, this whole kind of manufactured fear that, you know, now women are just going to have to just die and their baby because they can't get these kinds of operations. And I was having a conversation with my neighbor about this yesterday. He had, you know, mentioned, he's like, can you believe these Supreme Court justices? And I was like, well, I'll be honest with you. I'm glad what they did. I'm for it. I'm all for it. And he was kind of implying that, you know, now women are just kind of up a creek. I mean, they're just going to have to just die. But Arkansas and Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
at least, and these, I just say those two states because I've looked into those two states, have it on their proposed amendments, you know, that these abortions are not allowed unless these situations are happening.
Right.
And so the idea that, you know, now all these red, tyrannical Christian states are going to make women just die in droves is just made up.
Yeah.
It's faux.
I think they have to say this stuff because they were trying to present abortion as a health care thing for women. So if they really believe that, then they have to then add in all these other things.
Yeah.
But it's just not true. And abortion was never actually seen as health care. Even in the Roe v. Wade decision, it wasn't seen as health care. And so that becomes also, you know, just a couple of notes here. One, if, you know, we've been told for years that Planned Parenthood should be here because they do more than just abortions. In fact, abortions are just a small percentage of what they do, except for when this started happening. Now, in the past few days, we've had Planned Parenthood starting to shut down.
Good.
Now that kind of blows my mind. If this is just a small little portion of what they do, then why are they shutting down? And then we had, and I know this was extreme, but we had some extreme leftist people, right, who were saying, well, we need to go and burn down all these pregnancy care centers. We need to go destroy them. I'm like, well, hold on here. I thought you guys were mad that these free things, like that one lady was talking about, right, that we need free universal maternal care. We need free this. These free things that you're not going to get, quote unquote, because of Roe v. Wade, which is absurd to even say. Now you're going to take away and you're going to burn down the facilities that actually are giving away these things all because, so that boils back to everything we thought was actually true. Planned Parenthood's business was based on abortions.
Yeah.
And Planned Parenthood, and people only cared about the abortions. They don't care about the free diapers, the free form. They weren't seeking Planned Parenthood just to try to get help to have their baby. They were seeking Planned Parenthood to destroy their baby.
Yeah. And you know, brother, this has always really gotten under my skin, the notion that, well, it's just a portion of what Planned Parenthood does is abortions. They also do these other things. But even before this overturn, if you look at their stats, I mean, they make an enormous amount of money from abortions. And that's like, that would be like me saying that sermon preparation is a small portion of what I do as a pastor. Right. It's like, well, okay, but it's, I mean, I spend like 20 hours a week on it. Yeah. It's a huge portion of what I do.
Yep.
That'd be like saying I'm a garbage man because I take trash out sometimes.
Right.
And then, well, Planned Parenthood's a condom provider.
Or right.
They help counsel. It's like, they might do those things, but they also make a gigantic amount of money on
just that one little portion, quote unquote, of what they do, right?
A lot of blood.
Yeah.
That's on their hands.
Well, it seems like some people are grasping for things, right? So here's NPR, National Public Radio, okay, who's funded by who? The government, right? So nationally funded government public radio article on their website, end of Roe versus Wade means men who cause pregnancies will face more economic pain. So now they're trying to grasp at, trying to get the men, right, who would, and don't get me wrong, I do think there is a, if not a lot, there is a pretty decent sized portion of these, of women who get talked in and get told to go and have an abortion by their, I wouldn't say husband, but their hookup.
Yeah.
So use their term, right? And they're kind of deadbeat dads, deadbeat guys, right? Because to even say that you would try to force because you don't want to pay or you don't want to have child support or you don't want to take care of a child is absurd to me. But they're trying to now grab them in and say, hey, you listen, this is going to hit your pocketbook. This is going to take money away from you now because you can't talk your girl into going and having an abortion. And then I saw already, since the decision, which that was what, Friday?
Yeah, so just a few days.
Men, a couple of men posting on, and I use that term lightly, posting on Twitter that they went and got a vasectomy because at least that can be reversible. That way they won't get a girl pregnant. And now, because they can't have an abortion. So they go and they have a vasectomy. That is, I'm like, what is happening here? So one, we have no self-control, obviously.
Right.
That's one thing. And two, this is like saying, hey, females, you should go get your tubes tied, and then we're going to reverse that tubes tied after when you're ready to actually have kids. Like, that is, both those things are absurd for both.
Right.
All because we can't get an abortion now. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very terrible. It's disgusting, honestly, the lack of self-control and responsibility and rebellion, you know. It's like I so disregard the law of God and the claim that he has on my life, my body, that I'm going to, you know, go under the knife to pursue my idols.
Yeah.
Not going to submit to his standards.
Right.
Even like I have this huge opportunity, you know, to see the true error of my ways, but I'm not going to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And then the same side that's going to argue that as a kind of a good, you know, alternative, a way out, is also the side that's arguing for, you know, an enormous tax increase to fund national health care to pay for the reversal so you can just pursue your sexual immorality.
Sure, sure.
And it's just terrible in so many ways.
Just a little snippet, and then I got a couple more things on this, but all of a sudden we do understand what a woman and a man is. I just want to throw that out there. Yep. Roe v. Wade gets overturned, and now all of a sudden our eyes are open to actually what a female and a man is, because no talk is about, hey, men can't go and have abortions, right? Because there was talk before that men can have periods and can get pregnant.
Yep.
Right? And they were talking about transgender, obviously. Nobody's saying that. Nobody is using their PC terms anymore that they've come up with.
Yep.
And they're literally just saying men and women. That's it. Men, you've caused, men who cause pregnancies. I like how they phrase that, right? Men who cause pregnancies and females who go and can't now have an abortion. That's it. That's all I've been hearing. There is no switching of the two since this ruling has come down from all the PC advocates. So just a little snippet on that. And then somehow we have come to believe that progressiveness means killing babies.
Yeah.
That to progress in time. And here's why I say that. Because people are literally saying, we have now gone back in time.
I saw a tweet that said that, yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, 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 what? So literally, the only way we can progress as a culture, as a nation, is to be okay with killing our babies? Like that to me was like one of the worst takes. Even AOC had a bad take, but that was one of the worst takes I've ever seen, is we have now gone back in time because we have overturned Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
Ludicrous.
There's a book called by Greg Kochel called Relativism, Feet Firmly Planted in Midair. Just kind of pointing out that there's no like rational, objective, consistent foundation for relativism. And I think you see that on display here. We have society saying it would be progressive, that is, it would bring our country farther to have really, really tight gun control to save children in schools from being shot.
Sure.
But it would be regressive to save children from forceps and drugs that suck their life away in the womb.
Tear them limb by limb sometimes.
That would be regressive, but it would be progressive to save them from gun violence.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you consistently argue these things?
Because this isn't about kids.
Yeah.
This isn't about babies.
Yeah.
To them, it is not about life. And there's some of them that are going to turn it around and say, well, see, all these people who are excited and celebrating the overturn of Roe v. Wade, but then they don't want gun control. They don't care about kids. No, you don't get it. The fact that we have law-abiding citizens that could carry guns into schools, so let's say you have teachers who might have guns, what that does is it creates for the one who has that thought to go into a school and shoot up a school, it creates a thought of, if I go in there, I don't know who has a gun.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go. Now, what we've done is we've said, hey, we're going to place a resource officer at the front. We're going to give them a gun, and nobody else has a gun. Well, then it's pretty simple for a person who wants to come in and take out a school, because they only have one person to deal with, maybe two. That's it. Or in the last shooting case, that was media thing. For whatever reason, all of those resource officers did nothing.
Yeah.
I still don't know that one that's going on. I haven't studied. I don't know why they didn't do anything, but I know they didn't.
Yeah.
And so if you were saying, no, release the gun laws, let people carry, that will stop the majority of this. And we can just look back a few years back, and some people who listen here, because I saw the demographics, can remember a time when they had shotguns in their back of their truck.
Mm.
They were carrying guns. Teachers had guns in school. There was a time when kids would hunt on the way to school and hunt on the way back home, and they would put their guns maybe up on a tree. And by the way, we had almost zero, to our knowledge, gun shootings.
Yeah.
People weren't dying in schools because of guns.
And that wasn't that long ago.
No, 1950s,
yeah.
Like 60s maybe. 70s, people had guns in the back of the truck on the gun racks, right? In the back of the truck in rural areas. So I think we have regressed in the gun laws, right? Because as we have gun laws, it's pushed us back and it's made it easier for criminals who want to be criminals to do the things they want to do. And that's kind of beside the point on the abortion, but it's making the point of if they're going to come at us and say, hey, you guys want guns, you don't want gun laws, and guns are the ones killing people. And we want abortions. We want to kill babies because that's better for society. I would say, I don't follow your logic here.
Yeah.
Because I'm saying, no, give more guns so we can protect the kids. And then also don't murder your kid in the womb. So both of my ideas are protections.
Yeah. I mean, Proverbs says that, you know, what a man says sounds right until a cross-examination comes. And you hear these arguments are emotional, you know, often there's sometimes if, I mean, like you got like Karen Swallow Pryor and her big words that don't really make sense or have a meaning, but they sound smart.
Right.
And you get this stuff and it's like, gosh, that really touched me. But then you just ask some questions. You know, you take the logic to task and you see it doesn't hold water. It's got giant holes in it.
Yeah. How many times have we seen it, even in churches, right, where you have law-abiding citizens carrying guns, a guy comes in and starts to shoot, and one of those law-abiding citizens stops the shooting by taking out the shooter, right?
Yeah.
Like we've seen that time and time again. Restaurants, banks, if a guy has a weapon on him, law-abiding citizen, they will actually then stop whatever act that's happening, right? And so we've seen, but nobody wants to talk about those things because that doesn't fit the narrative.
Right.
And so, but it just seems logical to, if you had, and I'm not saying all teachers have to carry guns. I'm not saying that. But if you had teachers who were comfortable carrying, because I don't want someone who's uncomfortable carrying a gun. Definitely not. But if you got someone who's comfortable carrying the gun and somebody knows this and they know it's not a protected place, that I do believe shootings will come. And then here's my thing. If we might have a question that, well, will it really work? Just try it. Well, I mean, we're already having violence in schools right now anyways, right? Just try it.
Yeah.
And see what's going to happen. But yet we want to go and want to rip away guns from people who are going to try to protect others. So, and that, again, that's the gun law. That's crazy. But back on the abortion side, there's two things that I've heard that are coming down the pipe. And here's the thing. I think a lot of these things are going to be just talk that are going to be that the Democrats are going to try to talk about, but they're not going to be able to accomplish, but it's going to sound good for the midterm election. So they're going to continue talking about it, to try to gain votes. So one of the things is they're actually proposing now to, in all the red states, so all the states that are going to abolish abortion, they're going to put on federal land abortion clinics because they own the land. They can do it. The issue is if that state actually considers it murder, it doesn't matter where the murder happens. So if it happens on federal land, doesn't matter, still murder. If it happens on public, private land, doesn't matter, still murder. So they're saying these things, well, we need to go and put abortion clinics on federal grounds. Well, I get that, but that's still not going to work, you know? So they're going to use that talking point up until midterms.
Yeah.
The other thing, so Austin, Texas. So Texas is one of the states that had a trigger law, which meant if Roe v. Wade was overturned, then a law would kick in. And I can't remember what theirs is. Theirs might be up to a certain day. Theirs might be abolishment. I can't remember exactly what it is. But they had a trigger law that was going to really make abortions hard or non-existent, right? One of the two.
Yeah.
So Austin, which is one of the largest growing cities in Texas, they are proposing in their ordinance, their city council ordinance, right? The GRACE Act. And here's what GRACE means. Guarding the right for abortion care for everyone. So to me, this is borderline blasphemy, right? They're taking a term only applied by the Lord, right? that scripture uses called grace.
Mm.
And now they're changing it so that they can then basically steal it, almost like the rainbow has been stolen.
Yeah.
It's not God's promise anymore, but now it's about sodomy. But grace being changed to kill babies.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, that's a very sickening thing.
No, and they did it on purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously. Yeah. They created the whole acronym on purpose.
Yeah.
And to me, it was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, they're going to use grace? Really? Really? So they're trying to commandeer a biblical word, a God-given word, that God, an attribute of who God is, to use it against an attribute who God is not. And to me, that's pretty gross.
Yeah, that's terrible. I just about don't have any words. I mean, just Romans 1:30 comes to mind, you know, in light of the fall, haters of God, you know, not coldly indifferent. I don't really care about God, but haters of God.
Yeah.
You know, and you see that kind of come through the soil here and this kind of stuff. It's the same with pride, but this is kind of like a gross counterattack. You know, I think Doug Wilson has called it like row reversal rainbow month or something like that.
He did.
Like,
yeah.
Like God, you know, turning something very good in a month associated with something very evil. And then it's, you know, the nations are raging, Psalm 2. It's like, oh, we gotta come up with some counterattack.
Yep.
And so we'll take this beautiful word and turn it for murder, which we love to commit.
Now, all of this we've said, Zach, all of this said, let's actually get down to what the Supreme Court really did. So what the Supreme Court really did, they did not make abortion illegal.
Right.
They did not.
Yeah.
And so people are flipping out, people are going crazy, and they did not make it illegal. Now, what they did do, which I think is spot on, is they said it's up to the states. The state should have the right to decide if abortion is legal or illegal. Okay. So some would say, well, then they just kind of punted it. Well, I don't think it's punted it. I think they see the law for what it's supposed to be intended for, and they see how states should be autonomous yet in congruent with a country, right?
Yeah.
And so now that's why trigger laws kicked in some states. So Kentucky, you know, there's some different states that had these. Indiana did not have one. However, they're supposed to be meeting in July, early July, to actually vote on what they want to do.
Mm.
And it looks like from this side that they're going to vote to some extent. I hope they would vote to abolish it.
Yeah.
But they're going to vote to some extent to really, really minimize abortion in general in Indiana.
Mm.
Governor Holcomb come out and said, hey, I'm pro-life. I want everybody to know that, so I'm calling this so that way we can vote on this. I hope that it would just say, hey, abortion is illegal in Indiana.
Yeah.
But that's what the states did, or that's what the Supreme Court did, was made a state-by-state case, right? So what's interesting when you do state-by-state is we actually have more of a say in our state than we do in our country.
Right.
Because it's easier to meet your state legislators, right? It's easier to meet the people who you're going to vote for, as opposed to a lot of the D.C., you know, the Congress and all of that, and senators. Now, a lot of Indiana senators, and I'm sure other senators, will meet in their state just to talk to their people, but it is just a little bit more difficult. Plus, there's a whole lot of laws and a whole lot of bills that are trying to get passed, and so sometimes things can get kind of muddled in the mess.
Yeah.
Whereas in the state, there's a whole lot of that stuff too, yes, but it's a little bit easier to pass things. And really, this is how our country is set up.
Hmm.
And so I think pushing it back to the states, one, is why they were like, this is unconstitutional for us to decide this. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
Now the states have to just say, okay, are we going to say that abortion is murder, or are we going to say that there's health care benefits to abortion? So they might say, hey, when there's a heartbeat, you can't have an abortion, right? Which is decent. It's not what I would fully want.
It's not enough.
But it is decent, right?
Yeah.
Or are they going to say, hey, up to 12 weeks, you can't have an abortion if it's after 12 weeks? That have been some cases. That's a little worse than the heartbeat bill, obviously. And again, I think we need to go as far to say that we need to abolish it. We need to call it a crime. We need to call it murder.
Yeah.
And it should be punishable by the judicial system for both doctors and one seeking that abortion.
Right. And I would agree 100%. And, you know, in our weekly Bible study, we've been going over it's titled Why and How to Combat Abortion. And I had started by looking at the history, and really that's you're right. I mean, it's what Roe was all about, was taking the authority out of the state's hands to criminalize abortion. And then every other however many cases, which is many, mm-hmm. are piled on top of Roe, just made it even tighter. Like Roe, you know, I think it was Wisconsin or a state wanted it to be criminalized, and the federal government tyrannically said no in Roe v. Wade. And then there was another one in the 90s that, like, if a woman wants to get an abortion, she doesn't have to tell her husband. Mm-hmm. You know, playing off of that, it's a woman's right kind of thing.
Was that Casey?
I think so. Casey, yeah, because Justice Kennedy wrote this really ultra-blasphemous thing saying that individuals have the right to define existence and all that kind of stuff. And Casey, but so, yeah, it's not a punt so much as it's just writing a wrong, you know, that the federal government tyrannically did in the past.
And they actually didn't make it a law, which is very interesting. So abortion, legalized abortion wasn't a law. And so states could have already came against that, but they didn't. And so I think they thought that, well, if it got to the Supreme Court, then it was going to have to, you know, be viewed in the sight of Roe v. Wade and Casey, which is probably true. But now that's kind of what the Supreme Court did, was, hey, if it gets to us, we just overturn these. And so now we have case law to say, hey, no, this actually needs to go. This is the state's decision, not ours, you know.
Right.
And so it wouldn't have to get to them. Or shouldn't, right?
Mm.
So there's, I would say for the believer out here listening to this, keep an eye out on all of the emotional, really trying to play on fear and emotions, all the sayings that are going to happen, like the federal grounds and all these things, or women are going to die now, and you know, all these different things.
Yeah.
A septic uterus now can't be treated, which is just false. So keep an eye out on that, and just know, do your research, look into these things. You'll find what we've just told you. But to ultimately know that God creates human beings. God creates them in the womb. And that is our stance and should be our stance because it's scripture.
Yeah.
And so we don't have to ask scientists, well, when does a baby become a baby? Well, we know through scripture that through conception, they are intricately started to be woven by the Lord.
Yeah.
And so for that is alive. There's some people, I do think that adoptions should go up. I also think that one of the things we should fight for is a more accessible way to adopt.
Yeah.
I do think they made that super hard, and I think that's by design, because they wanted to kind of force abortions for that matter. So to make them more accessible, to make them easier to get. And then also, obviously, the background checks, all that stuff on parents who are wanting to adopt, for sure, make that kind of rigorous. But as far as the fees and all of the amount of money that it would take to adopt, should I would fight for those to diminish to a minimum as best we can. And so pregnancy care centers, those things should be given to and ramped up. Because there are going to be more need, right?
Mm.
And I'm okay with that. So let's ramp that up. Let's try to help. Let's get diapers. Let's do all those things. Formula, if you can get it right, all these type of things. So that way babies can be taken care of. And, you know, one of the things Mother Teresa said, I think she was accepting a Nobel Peace Prize or something. And she said, you know, give all the babies to me. I'll take them. I'll take them.
Yeah.
And I don't think she was lying at all. I don't think she was being exaggerative. She was being serious. And so should we.
Yeah. You know, something that's really just hung on my mind, you know, for Christians that might be listening here, maybe even members of Calvary or ECC, you know, Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so we have to, you know, there's many things we have to do, but two of them is we have to be in prayer for our leaders. And we have to pray for Governor Holcomb and our Congress to be courageous, to be bold, to be lions, and to make righteous decisions. And we have to have a prophetic voice. I mean, we have to be like Elijah. We have to be like Amos. We have to be like Hosea, you know, repent, right. Repent, leave Sodom, leave the city of destruction. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think for too long as Christians, we've had this idea that if we just are nice to people, they're going to like deduce the gospel from our nice deeds. And it just doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. Like if you're a Christ follower and you're listening, you got to think biblically about everything and you got to be active. You got to put to death, you know, fear of man, just like TC and I have to put to death the fear of man. I mean, it's these things are musts.
Yeah. And so with that, I think we've covered it all. This was a little bit of a long one, but this is very important stuff that's going on. I do think it's right to celebrate, to praise God for his mercy that he has shown us through this. Again, remember, this has not been done by Supreme Court people. Yeah, I get it. They made the vote. But this is literally done by the very hand of God, and we want to praise him for that, praise him for the kindness, because he did not have to give us this mercy. He did not. But yeah, it seems, and it definitely looks like he has. So we celebrate, we praise him from whom all good things come. Mm. And so thanks be to God. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.